How's everybody this morning on this beautiful windy day? Well, let me tell you just a brief little bit about myself as we kind of get started here this morning. My name is Steve Baird, as Matthew has mentioned, and been in church ministry for a number of years, was a youth pastor for quite some time, and then a senior pastor. Worked at a college as a college administrator and taught some Bible courses in theology. And then the last couple of years, the Lord's kind of prompted on my heart an itinerant ministry where I've done some pulpit supply and written a couple of books. And God has blessed us with that and been kind of a fun journey. And the Lord's kind of moving us towards a pastoral ministry again. And so we're kind of moving in that direction. With my wife and I, Lisa and I, we've been married, be 32 years this summer, and so we've been together for a while. I told her that we made it longer than the bath towels did. We were given to us as gifts, so that's a good thing. We have three boys, and they all, if they were here, they would all look very different from each other. My oldest son graduated from Missouri State. And he is working for the city there. He is our computer geek. And he can just do all kinds of stuff on the computer like you cannot believe. But we're blessed. We're thankful for him and blessed to have him. He's getting married this summer. Our middle son goes to UCM there in Warrensburg. And he's graduating this spring, with a finance degree. And that's kind of a difficult area, and so he's going to come back home with us, which is not going to break our hearts at all to have him come back and be with us. And he's kind of the life of the party. If he was here, you would meet him. He's just kind of doesn't meet a stranger. And then our oldest son, our youngest son, he's 6'6" and 270, and he. Like I said, they all look very different. And he is on a football scholarship at Missouri Western. He's a freshman there this year, and he's kind of getting acclimated. Found him a girlfriend in the laundry room. So I don't know what that says about him, but that's where they met each other. You know, one of my favorite movies is What About Bob? And it's a story about a man by the name of Bob Wiley, who has issues. He has problems. And he is so afraid of people and things that he has confined himself to his apartment. And he has been crippled by anxiety and depression and obsessive compulsive disorder. And he's gone from therapist to therapist trying to get relief, and he has not received any. Finally, he goes to a new doctor, Dr. Leo Marvin, who has written a book called Baby Steps. And the premise of that book is that we take baby incremental steps to work through our problems and our issues. And so Bob immediately begins to put it into practice right there in the doctor's office. And he starts taking baby steps around the doctor's office, through the doctor's office. Then he goes out into the reception area, and all of a sudden there's a receptionist, there's a person. And so he has to take the baby steps down the hallway till he gets to the elevator. And when he gets to the elevator, he's deathly afraid of elevators, but he's going to take baby steps onto the elevator. And as he takes that step onto the elevator, the scene closes as the door to the elevator is closed. It begins to descend, and you hear a blood-curdling cry. Bob wasn't ready for that baby step. The pursuit of God's will is like baby steps. Because we begin to give this little bit about what God has for us, and we take a baby step. Incremental steps to continue to go and be where God wants us to be. And I would venture to guess this morning that everyone here has something that they're wondering, what is it that God wants for my life? What is it that God desires for me to do? It might be in terms of a relationship. It might be a decision that we have to make. It might be financial needs. They can be big ones, They could be small ones. But we're all trying to determine what is it that God wants for our lives. And we take those little baby steps. Life is like a maze. Because we try to make our way through it, and we take steps along the way to go where God would want us to go. And sometimes we come to a fork in the road, and we have to either go to the right or to the left, and we take a baby step one direction, and we follow what God's leading is for us. Sometimes we end up in a dead end. We turn in the wrong direction. But yet God still uses those in our life, and He molds us through those times of ending up in the dead end. There's times where we're going right down the path, and then there's another path off to the side or over here, and we have to determine, does God want me to go that direction or continue to go down the straight path? This morning, I want you to think about what is it that you're wondering, what does God want? Because we all want God to send it to us in an email or a letter. So we could open that up and we could just see right away what it is that God wants for us. But God doesn't do that. He doesn't work in that way. What He does do is He gives us principles that we can apply to our life to take that next baby step and the next step and navigate our way through this maze we call life. Well, as we're in the maze, we find a friend. And our friend's name is Abraham. And Abraham, we find an account of his story in Genesis chapter 12. And if you want to turn there, you can follow along. And we also have it on the PowerPoint. And we're going to find principles about how we can navigate through life by taking these baby steps to be where God wants us to be. They're not magic steps. They're not do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, we'll be there. They're principles that we need to take out constantly and apply. And let's look in Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to a land I will show you." The first principle is take the step of willingness. Be willing to do whatever God wants us to do. Notice what it says here. It said, the Lord had said to Abraham. The step of willingness means that we have the ear of attention. We listen to what God is saying in our lives. We listen through the Word of God as He speaks through the Word of God. And as we listen through, as we bear witness with the Spirit of God, as the Spirit of God moves in our life and bears witness with us as far as what God's direction would have us to go. The word here, he says, the Lord had said to Abram. And we know the story of Abraham. And because in this part of his life, he's still referred to as Abram. We're going to call him Abram throughout the message this morning. But Abram used to live in a place called the Ur of the Chaldees. And he traveled some 550 miles northwest and landed in a place called Haran. And he traveled there with his family, with his father, Terah, and with a whole bunch of people. And they stopped there. And the Word of God tells us here that the word that the Lord had said to Abram, go, probably had a second call on him, his life, to go again. To leave, because for some reason they stopped. There was this little bypass that they had in Haran, and they stopped there. God said to go. Abram had to listen. It reminds me of the story of the man who was the old farmer who went to New York City to visit a friend. And while he was there, they went right down into the heart of Manhattan. And while they were in the heart of Manhattan, the taxi cabs are blaring their horns. People are yelling. There's all kinds of commotion and noise going on. The old farmer stops and he says, "I hear a cricket." Yeah, it's kind of unusual. And his friend says to him, how do you hear a cricket amidst all this commotion and chaos? And the man said, "It depends on what you train your ear to listen for." Have we trained our ears to listen for God? When He speaks to us from His Word or through the witness of the Spirit, are we listening to God? Abram did. And this step of willingness means that we'll have a heart of abandonment. Joshua gives us an insight when he says this in Joshua 24 and verse 2. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah the father of Abraham and Nahor," and get this, "and they served other gods." They served other gods. What I want us to realize is this, that Abraham, while he was still Abram, he worshipped other gods. We think about the father of our faith always being faithful to God, and he was faithful to God, but there was a time when he worshipped other gods. And he had to be willing to abandon them. Because this word here, where it says, God says to go, means to determinately disassociate oneself. It's a decision to separate ourselves from one thing and separate ourselves to something else. This morning, what I want us to realize is this. We take this step of willingness. We need to determine to separate ourselves from those things that will pull us away from God. We don't like to think about idols today because we don't think about maybe a wooden object or a piece of stone. But an idol is anything that we put in the place that God deserves in our life. And many times we put things in the place that only God deserves, and they become idols. When we take this step of willingness, I would say that a lot of us would probably say, yes, I'm willing to follow God. But yet, maybe deep down inside, there's some areas that we're not. And we may even have to pray a prayer like, Lord, make me willing to be willing. Because sometimes we're in that position. And maybe you are this morning. Verses 2 and 3, we find the Abrahamic covenant. And though we're not going to focus on them this morning, they're so important, we want to read those verses anyway. The Lord says this, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and curse, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." The second step we take is the step of obedience. Take the step of obedience. Do what we know God wants us to do. I would venture to say again that all of us here this morning, or at least most of us, have something we know God wants us to do. You know, obey has become a four-letter word. It is a four-letter word, but it's not a bad four-letter word. Because Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do what? You'll obey my commands. Jesus said, the way that you tell me you love me is to be obedient. To do what I say. And so there's a second step here is to take the step of obedience. Notice with me what we find in verse number 4. So Abram went as the Lord had told him. God said to go, and Abram went as the Lord told him. He was obedient. And yet, following God sometimes isn't always easy. Sometimes there's some odd twists. As we follow through that maze, sometimes there's some interesting turns that God has us to take. And we find in the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 8, a little bit more to the story that we don't find here in the Genesis account, where it says this, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, he obeyed and went." But then there's a little phrase tucked in here that we need to look at, even though he didn't know where he was going. Even though he didn't know where he's going. You ever have God give you a sense to do something and you're not really sure why or what it is you're supposed to do? Just go. Sometimes God, that's all God gives us, is that next little baby incremental step to go. Wouldn't you have loved to have been a fly on the tent that day when Abram came in and said to his wife Sarai, "Sarai, I've been spending time with God." And she says, "Well, that's great." And he says, God's going to give us a nation. She said, well, that's great. And he said, we're going to leave and we're going to go to it. And she says, that's great. Where is it? And he says to her, I don't know. But you know what? To Sarah's credit, she was faithful too. And she was obedient. And she went with Abram. And they both followed and ended up in the land that God had promised to them. What I want us to realize is that obedience isn't always makes sense. Love your neighbor. No, we don't want to love our neighbor. Pray for those who despitefully use you. We don't want to pray. Yeah, we want to pray for them. We want to pray down God's fire and brimstone on their lives. Someone once said, God is a God of vengeance, and let me be the agent that God uses to be the vengeance. And we all kind of feel that way at times. But let's notice what else the verse says. It says this, and Lot went with him. Now, I don't want to read too much into this, but I think it's important for us to stop and consider something that happened in Abram's life. God is going to give instructions for, he gave him instructions in verse number 1 to leave his father's household, to leave the land, to leave everything behind. And now we find this nephew, Lot, goes with him. Now we don't know if maybe Lot had become like a son to him, so he was a part of his family. We don't know if the verse kind of seems to indicate that Lot kind of tagged along. We don't know if Abraham deliberately took Lot. But what we do know is this, that Abram was not always obedient in the maze. And neither will you and I. There's times we will take that step of disobedience. Abram, when asked about his wife, lied and said that she was his sister. When God asked him to have a new nation through his wife Sarai, he took matters into his own hand and tried to produce that nation through his bondservant Hagar. He wasn't perfect. And what I want us to realize is this, that as we take this step of obedience, sometimes we take this step of disobedience. Sometimes we end up in the dead end of the maze of life, and we have to turn around, and we have to take steps in another direction. But God will still use us. Our gracious God works in spite of us, in spite of our mistakes, in spite of our sin. Because Abram and Sarai are mentioned in the Hall of Faith. And if they're in the Hall of Faith, you and I have hope too. Let's go on, and it says this. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Notice that he took everything. He took all of his possessions, all the people that they had accumulated. The people they accumulated were their servants that worked for them, and they left everything. He did what God asked him to do. It's like the guy who was walking along the cliff, and he was kind of walking a little too close, and he suddenly slipped and fell off. And the good news is that there was a branch sticking out of the side of the cliff, and he grabbed a hold of it. But the bad news is that as he was hanging there, he's too far from the ground that if he let go, he would fall to his death. And he was too far from the top of the cliff to climb back up. So now he begins to get nervous. His palms are sweaty, and he's thinking, what do I do? So he thought he'd call out, and he said, help! Help! Is there anybody up there that can help me? After a minute, he hears this. This is God. I'm here to help you. Now he begins to become relieved. His palms are not quite as sweaty. And so he says, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? God said, let go of the branch. The man thought for a moment, and then he said, is there anybody else up there? Sometimes we want another opinion. But God tells us what to do. And when he has made that clear in our life, we need to take this step of obedience. And this morning, there's some of us who know that step that we need to be taking. And that's what we need to take this morning. The third step that we want to look at is this, that take the step of wholeheartedness. Be wholehearted in your steps. Notice again, verse number 5. Abram took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan and arrived there. He took all the possessions, all the people that they had, and they got up and they left and they went. The step of wholeheartedness means that we're going to burn bridges of return. It means we're not going to go back. Abram didn't sit around and think, well, you know what? Let's see. Why don't we leave a few herds behind and some workers in case things don't work out for us in this land of Canaan that we're supposed to be going to, and we can come back. No. He loaded up everything. He pulled up the stakes and he took off. And what I want us to realize is that sometimes we struggle with this because we want to leave our options open. We know God has the best intent for our heart, for our lives. We know that down deep inside. But sometimes we question it. Sometimes we think, you know, I'll kind of do this, and then, you know, if it doesn't work out, I can always back out of it and I can go another direction. But God wants wholeheartedness. God wants all of us. And at this point, I think it's helpful for us to think about that great theologian, Dr. Theodore Geisel. Some of us know him as Dr. Seuss. And he has written a poem called The Zode. And I think it illustrates beautifully what it's like for us to not be wholehearted. Did I ever tell you about the young Zode who came to two signs at the fork in the road? One said to place one and the other place two. So the Zode had to make up his mind what to do. Well, the Zode scratched his head and then his chin and his pants. And he said to himself, I'll take a chance. I'll go to place one. Now that place may be hot. And so how do I know if I'll like it or not? On the other hand, though, I'd be sort of a fool if I'd go to place two and find it too cool. In that case, I may catch a chill and turn blue. So maybe place one is the best, not place two. But then again, what if place one is too high? I may catch a terrible earache and die. So place two may be best. On the other hand, though, what might happen to me if place two is too low? I might get something very strange, pain in my toe. And so the place one may be best, and he started to go. Then he stopped and he said, on the other hand though. And for 36 and a half hours, that poor Zode made starts and stops at the fork in the road, saying, don't take a chance. No, you may not be right. Then he got an idea that was wonderfully bright. Play it safe, cried the Zode. I'll play it safe. I'm no dunce. I'll simply start out for both places at once. And now that's how the Zode, who would not take a chance, got no place at all with a split in his pants. And that's what happens to us. Instead, as wholeheartedness, we need to make a bridge of resolve. We need to go forward, just like Abram, who left everything. He took everything with him, and he left behind his family, his country, just like God asked him to do. And he was wholehearted. Isn't it a lot like what Jesus said to us? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Jesus asked for wholeheartedness and nothing less. And yet we struggle with that all the time because there's little recesses of our heart that are not totally given over to God. And yet this morning, that's an area he may be speaking to you about. The fourth step is to take the step of alertness. Be looking for God's workings. Notice as we pick up in verse number 6, it says this, Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Remember that phrase about the Canaanites. We'll come back to that. But Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree Moreh at Shechem. What this tells us is this, that Abram didn't stop at the border. He went right into the heart of a country. Shechem is in the middle of Israel, in the middle of Canaan. He did not stop at the edge. He went to the middle. And there it says that by the site of Moreh. And the idea here is that he built a sacred altar and worshiped God at that point. We need to be confident in following God and being alert to what he has for us. Then notice what we find in verse 7. The Lord appeared to Abram. The Lord appeared to Abram. When was the last time the Lord appeared to Abram? Back when he was in Haran. Back when he said, go. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. God said in the first verses, he said, I'm going to give you a land. And now he's at a place where he says, I am going to give you a land. I will give you this land. He had to be sensitive to what God was doing. He had to be alert to what God was doing in his life. And he stopped to worship God. He traveled some 350 to 400 miles from Haran into the heart of Canaan to Shechem. And in those days, it probably would have taken them about a month to do that. And can you imagine? He's got this whole group of people that he's taken along, and what are they saying? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And Abram's saying, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just going because God said to go. And we don't know if God had spoken to him during that trip. But it seems to me as though God was maybe painfully silent. And this morning, what I would want us to realize is that if God is giving you direction to take a step, he may not give you new direction until there's new time for another step. And it may seem silent. Years ago, my wife and I were making a change from one church to another church. And during that time, we had committed ourselves to a church in Indianapolis. And it was about a month until we moved. And during that time, we were staying with my parents. And so, you know, it was a little downtime. And I tell you what, I began to question God about it. I questioned myself. I questioned my wife. If I had a dog, I would have questioned the dog. I was just beside myself because God didn't tell me anything else. He had given me the next step. And I felt confident that that was a step. But then I began to question it. Once we got to that ministry and we began to get involved in that ministry and pour ourselves into that ministry, God confirmed to me this was where we're supposed to be. And this morning, maybe some of you are in that same boat. God is giving you. He's giving you that sense of what you need to do. And until you do that, you may not hear anything else. God may be quiet. Doesn't mean he's not at work. It just means he may be quiet. But this step of alertness is confirmation. The pastor that I went to work for there in Indianapolis used to say this, God always directs a moving object. When we're moving, God can direct us. But too many times we stand still in the maze of life. We stop. And we don't go forward. We don't go backward. We just stand still. God has to get us going before he can direct us and lead us to where he would want us to be. The fifth step is a step of faithfulness. In verse number 8, we find this. From there, Abram went on to the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued towards the Negev. We see what he did was once the Lord spoke to him, the Lord came to him, he built an altar and he worshiped God. We need to continue to build a faithfulness in our relationship with God. Abram came back to this point where he built a relationship or built an altar so that he could continue his relationship with God. This God that had asked him to go. This God that had led him and maybe had been silent. But now Abram is faithful. Where are we needing to be faithful in our walk with God? It's easy to become weary in doing well. It's easy to kind of give up when the rest of the people are not doing the right thing. It's easy to give up when we don't see God doing what we think he should be doing. And yet, he made this altar. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 2 says this, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that they be found faithful." God wants us to be faithful to him, and he rewards faithfulness. When I was a youth pastor, one day I came into my office and there was a baby jar. And in that baby jar was a walnut with a bunch of rice. Kind of odd. Didn't have that happen every day. In fact, only ever had it happen one time. But there was a piece of paper that said this, that explained what it was. It was that this was like my relationship with God. If I put the walnut in first and then the rice, the walnut fits perfectly. But if I put the rice in first and then try to put the walnut in there, it's very difficult, if next to impossible. And the same thing is true of our lives. And an example that Abram gives us is that he stopped and he was faithful to his relationship with God. We need to be faithful to our relationship with God. We need to put God in our life first and then let the stuff fill in around it. And guess what? That might leave some things out. But when we start putting all the things into our lives that we think we need or want, then it's pretty hard to fit God in. And when we do, some of the stuff starts spilling out, and that isn't always pleasant. But this step of faithfulness also means that we'll be put to the test. Our faithfulness will be put to the test. Remember what I noted for us, that it was in the land of the Canaanites? Who were the Canaanites? They were a wicked people. They didn't serve the true and living God. They worshipped other gods. They went against the code or the principles and the commandments of God. They did their own thing. They were wicked people. And you know what? Abram is now living in the midst of them. I can't help but think that he had some temptation. Perhaps he was even tempted to go back to worshiping those other gods. Sometimes we're the same way. We follow God and then we're tempted to go follow something else. The pursuit of money, the pursuit of our own happiness, to the detriment of our relationship with God. Remember that Abram, his default when he got into the pressure situation was to lie. Perhaps he continued to lie. Be tempted to lie. Or take matters into his own hands as he had with his handmaiden Hagar. We'll face the temptation when we're being put to the test of faithfulness in this maze we call life. In verse 9, I want to read again. It says, "Then Abram set out and continued towards the Negev." Abram continued to follow God. He went from just coming into the borders of the land to the middle of the center of the land, and then he went down to the south, and the Negev is the desert area, also known as kind of the southern area of Canaan. He continued to be faithful to his relationship with God. As I mentioned, we all would like to have God send us an email, a text, a letter that says, "This is what I want you to do. In 5 years from now, here's where you're going to be. Here's what you're going to be doing. 10 years from now, here's what I want." But God doesn't work that way. What I do know is that if we take baby incremental steps today, what God wants, and then again tomorrow, we do what God wants, and the next day the same, and the next day, and the next day the same, that in 5 years from now, we will be where God wants us to be. In 10 years from now, we'll be doing what God wants us to do. And so as we look at these five principles, they're not ones that we want to necessarily do in order. But what we want to look at them is say, maybe right now I need the principle of wholeheartedness. And then God may lead us to the principle of obedience. And then God may say, you know what, I need you to continue to be faithful. And then you need to go back to being wholehearted. So this morning what we want to ask is this: God wants me to take the step. Which step does God want you to take? And as we look at these steps, I think the Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 fit so nicely with it that I want us to kind of combine these with these steps. First of all is a step of willingness. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. All of your heart, are you willing to do what God wants? Maybe this morning, where you are, or at the time of the altar invitation, you need to come and say, Lord, just make me willing. I know you're dealing with me in this relationship. Just make me willing to be what you want me to be. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Second, obedience. Is God asking you to obey? And lean not on your own understanding. Remember Abram? He was asked to go where he didn't know where he was going. Sometimes the Word of God, it's clear, but we don't know quite how it's going to work out in our lives. We're still to obey it. Why? Because when we do that, we tell God that we love Him. And isn't that what we want to do? The greatest command is to love God with all that we have. And the third step is wholeheartedness. In all your ways, submit to Him. You know, there might be several areas in our life that we've given them all to God. But I know the heart, and I know us as people, that there's always a little bit that we're holding on for ourselves. And perhaps this morning, during our time of invitation, you need to say, Lord, I want to give you. Or just like it says in the verse in Proverbs, submit this area to you. What area is that that God is speaking to you about? And then step four, alertness. And He will make your path straight. Are you being alert to what God is doing? And God will begin to make those paths straight. As we go through the maze we call life, we're not always sure. But being alert to God will help us understand the next step to take. Doesn't mean it's going to be perfect. Doesn't mean that we're never going to run into a dead end. But it means that if we're sensitive and we're alert to God, we'll take that next step He has for us. And this morning, maybe, we become distracted. Which leads us to the last step, and that is the step of faithfulness. And it really, the whole of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 are summed up well when it says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. Are you being faithful? Or are you weary this morning? If you're tired or you've sat down in the maze or you stopped moving, I'd encourage you to go, because God directs a moving object. Be faithful in your relationship with God. And maybe you need to return to that time that you've put a bunch of stuff in your baby jar and you've not taken time to put the walnut in. God has not been the priority in your relationships. Let's bow in prayer. And as I pray this morning, I'd like for us to think about each of these steps and what it is that God wants you to respond to. What it is that sticks out in your mind is the one that God wants you to respond to. The other stuff you don't need to remember. Because we can only respond to one thing this morning. What is it? Father, thank you for Abraham. Thank you for his life. Thank you that he wasn't perfect. And thank you that we can relate to him because he was just like us. And yet there's five things that we see in his life that we need to apply in our own lives to take the next step in the walk with you. And so, Lord, I pray for each of us this morning that we would take that step that you would have for us to take. in this maze we call life. In Jesus' name, amen.